Chapter 5, verse 10 to 13. So it's got four verses, so we'll just chant the first verse.
Hamse Gurau Mai Bhaktanu Vritya. Hamse Gurau Mai Bhaktanu Vritya. Viteshnaya Dvandvati Tikshaya Cha. Sarvatra jantor vyasavan vyasanavagatya. Jignasaya tapaseha nivritya. Hamse gurau mai bhaktanuvritya. Vitirshnaya dvandvati tikshaya cha. Sarvatra jantor vyasanavagatya. Jignasaya tapaseha nivritya. Hamse gurau mai bhaktyanu vritya.
Hamse gurau mai bhaktyanu vritya.
Vitirshnaya dvandvati tikshaya cha. Sarvatra jantor vyasanavagatya. Jignasaya tapaseha nivritya.
I'll just chant the rest of the three verses. Matkarma bhir matkathaya cha nityam maddeva sangat gunakirtaname nirvaira samyo pashamena putra jihasaya deha gehatma buddhe Adhyatma yogena vivikta sevaya Pranendriyatma bhijayena sadriyak Satchraddaya brahmacharyena shashvat Asampramadena yamena vacham Sarvatra madbhava vichakshanena Jnanena vijnana virajitena Yogena dhrityudyama sattva yukto Lingam vyapohet kushalo hamakhyam. Kushalo hamakhyam.
Word to word translation.
Hamse, who is a Paramahamsa, or the most exalted, spiritually advanced person. Gurau to the spiritual master. Mai unto me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktya by devotional service. Anuvritya by following. Vitirshnaya by detachment from sense gratification. Dvandva of the dualities of the material world. Titikshaya, by tolerance. Cha, also. Sarvatra, everywhere. Jantoho, of the living entity. Vyasana, the miserable condition of life. Avagatya, by realizing. Jignasaya, by inquiring about the truth. Tapasa, by practicing austerities and penances. Iha nivritya, by giving up the endeavor for sense enjoyment. Madkarmabhi, by working for me. Madkathaya, by hearing topics about me. Cha, also. Nityam, always. Maddeva Sangat, by association with my devotees. Gunakirtanatme, by chanting and glorifying my transcendental qualities. Nirvaira, being without enmity. Samya, seeing everyone equally by spiritual understanding. Upashamena, by subduing anger, lamentation and so on. Putraha, O sons. Jihasaya, by desiring to give up. Deha, with the body. Geha, with the home. Atma buddhehe, identification of the self. Adhyatma yogena, by the study of the revealed scriptures. Vivikta sevaya, by living in a solitary place. Prana, the life air. Indriya, the senses. Atma, the mind. Abhijayena, by controlling. Sadhriyak, completely. Sat Shraddhaya, by developing faith in the scriptures. Brahmacharyena, by observing celibacy. Shashwat, always. Asampramadena, by not being bewildered. Yamena, by restraint. Vacham, of words. Sarvatra, everywhere. Madbhava, thinking of me. Vichakshanena, by observing. Jnanena, by development of knowledge. Vijnana, by practical application of knowledge. Virajitena, illumined. Yogena, by practice of bhakti yoga. Dhriti, patience. Udyama, enthusiasm. Sattva, discretion. Yuktaha, endowed with. Lingam, the cause of material bondage. Vyapohet, one can give up. Kushalaha, in full auspiciousness. Ahamakhyam, false ego, false identification with the material world. It's a long translation, I'll just read ahead. Translation: O my sons, you would accept a highly elevated Paramahamsa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. In this way, you should place your faith and love in me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should detest sense gratification and tolerate the duality of pleasure and pain, which are like the seasonal changes of summer and winter. Try to realize the miserable condition of living entities who are miserable even in the higher planetary systems. Philosophically inquire about the truth, then undergo all kinds of austerities and penances for the sake of devotional service. Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of the Lord. Listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always associate with the devotees. Chant about and glorify the Supreme Lord and look upon everyone equally on the spiritual platform. Giving up enmity and subdue anger and lamentation. Abandon identifying the self with the body and the home, and practice reading the revealed scriptures. Live in a secluded place and practice the process by which you can completely control your life, air, mind and the senses. Have full faith in the revealed scriptures, the Vedic literatures, and always observe celibacy. Perform your prescribed duties and avoid unnecessary talks. Always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Acquire knowledge from the right source. Thus, practicing Bhakti Yoga, you will patiently and enthusiastically be elevated in knowledge and will be able to give up the false ego. Purport. In these four verses, Rishabhadeva tells his sons how they can be freed from the false identification arising from false ego and material conditional life. One gradually becomes liberated by practicing as mentioned above. All these prescribed methods enable one to give up the material body, lingam vyapohe, and be situated in his original spiritual body. First of all, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master. This is advocated by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Shri Guru Padashrayaha. To be freed from the entanglement of the material world, one has to approach a spiritual master. Tad vignanartham sagurum eva bhigachet. By questioning the spiritual master and by serving him, one can advance in spiritual life. When one engages in devotional service, naturally the attraction for personal comfort, for eating, sleeping and dressing is reduced. By associating with the devotee, a spiritual standard is maintained. The word Maddeva Sangat is very important. There are many so-called religions devoted to the worship of various demigods, but here good association means association with one who simply accepts Krishna as the worshipable deity. Another important item is Dvandva Titiksha. As long as one is situated in the material world, there must be pleasure and pain arising from the material body. As Krishna advises in the Bhagavad Gita, Tam Stitiksha Svabharata, one has to learn how to tolerate the temporary pains and pleasures of this material world. One must also be detached from his family and practice celibacy. Sex with one's wife, according to the scriptural injunctions, is also accepted as brahmacharya. But illicit sex is opposed to the religious principles and it hampers advancement in spiritual consciousness. Another important word is vijnana virajitena. Everything should be done very scientifically and consciously. One should be a realized soul. In this way, one should give up the entanglement of material bondage. As Sri Madhvacharya points out, the sum and substance of these four shlokas is that one should refrain from acting out of a desire for sense gratification and should instead always engage in the Lord's loving service. In other words, Bhakti Yogena is the acknowledged path of liberation. Sri Madhvacharya quotes from the Adhyatma, Atmano Vihitam Karma, Varjayit Vanya Karmanaha, Kamasya Chaparityago, Niriheti Ahuruttamaha. One should perform activities only for the benefit of the soul. Any other activity should be given up. When a person is situated in this way, he is said to be desireless. Actually, a living entity cannot be totally desireless. But when he desires the benefit of the soul and nothing else, he is said to be desireless. Spiritual knowledge is jnana vijnana samanvitam. When one is fully equipped with jnana and vijnana, he is perfect. Jnana means that one understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, to be the Supreme Being. Vijnana refers to the activities that liberate one from the ignorance of material existence. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.31, Jnanam paramaguhyam meyat vijnana samanvitam. Knowledge of the Supreme Lord is very confidential, and the supreme knowledge by which one understands him furthers the liberation of all living entities. This knowledge is vijnana, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah tyakta deham punarjanma naiti mameti sojuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Tarinam Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, Hare Krishna. So, we've been studying chapter 5 from the 5th canto. And this is a very, very critical chapter in the entire Bhagavatam because here the Lord is preaching. It's interesting because who doesn't like to preach? And the Lord always takes this position of an acharya. Ideally, we don't ask the Lord to speak. You know, when the Lord speaks, many of us don't understand what he speaks because he's a different jati altogether. But yet, when we ask the Lord to speak, when we inquire from Him, the Lord speaks. And when the Lord speaks, it becomes history, you know, it becomes registered. And the Shastras are all His teachings. And that is what happens in the Bhagavad Gita as well, when Arjuna asks and inquires from Shri Krishna. Here, Rishabhadeva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And He has incarnated as the son of Nabhi. And he's had 100 children. Now He is practicing. You know, in those days, there will be perfect varnashram. Even though the Supreme Lord was a king, at a given point of time, he will retire himself. He will preach to his sons how to conduct in this material world, and then he will go his way to the Vanaprastha ashram. So, like this, the kings used to set an example. There was a retirement practice. The practice of retirement was that if you reach 51 years, ikyavan in Hindi, ikyavan means one. One means forest. So, you have to get out of the forest. So therefore, when you are 51, you have to go to the forest. So Rishabhadeva is setting his example and teaching to his sons. So in this verse, it's almost like a summary of what Rishabhadeva has been teaching from verse 1 of this chapter. And these are magnificent teachings. Even if we can understand one verse and apply in our life, actually our life will become glorious. And what's interesting here, the setting is the Supreme Lord is preaching to his children. And he's actually telling his children that I am the Supreme Lord. But interestingly, he starts the verse here, number 10, verse number 10, as Hamse Gurau Mai Bhaktyanu Vrittya. He's suggesting that the first thing you must do, my dear children, that you need to go and surrender to a Paramahamsa. Hamse Gurau. One who is a Paramahamsa, you should go and surrender to him. And who is that guru? A guru who is Mai Bhaktya Anubhritya. One who is devoted to me. One who knows Brahmanishtam. Who is a guru? Who is Brahmanishtam. Brahmanishtam means, Prabhupada always quotes this verse, Tad Vignanartham Sagarum Eva Vigache. And that guru should be Brahmanishtam. Samit Stotri, Samit Pani Stotriyam. So, he must be Brahmanishtam. And to such a guru, we must go with Samit. Samite. Samita means, you know, in olden days, when you go to a guru, you need to take dry wood. Samita means dry wood. And why? Because that is the offering we can give to a spiritual master. Spiritual master who is teaching, he doesn't need money or anything like that. He needs Samita for his sacrifice. Samit Pani Stotriyam Brahmanishtam. And a guru must be Brahmanishtam. So Rishabhadeva begins this verse to say, you must first go and surrender to a spiritual master who is devoted to me. So he did not advise the sons to come and surrender to him directly. It's very interesting. So he's saying you should go to a guru, although he's speaking to his children directly. So he is taking the role of an acharya And he is also saying you must surrender to me through the Acharya. So he starts with that, and then what is the result of that? He says in the last line of that four verses. So it's the sum and substance of the teaching. Prabhupada writes, it's the sum of the, Madhvacharya actually condenses this in one verse later. In the last line, he says, Yogena dhritu udyama sattva yukto lingam vyapohe kushaloham kushaloham akhyam. What happens? The last layer. See, as we know, we have three bodies, right? We all have three coverings on our bodies. If you see 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says we are covered with five sheets internally. The consciousness is covered with five sheets, which is spread across three layers of bodies. One is the gross body, one is the subtle body, and one is the constitutional, the spiritual body. The subtle body is called as the Linga Sharira, Lingam. So that is why here Krishna is saying, Rishabhadeva is saying, Lingam Vepohe. So by doing so, by surrendering diligently to the spiritual master, finally the thickest layer that you have covered, what we are all covered with, which is the thickest layer among the eight elements, the false ego. It is said that we are covered with all these eight layers, khammano buddhirevacha, and every layer is 10 times thicker than each other, and the thickest layer is false ego. It's very interesting, because it was good that the Lord designed like that, because if the false ego was a gross layer, probably the doors wouldn't have been enough, because we can't go out of the door, because we would have had a big false ego. We needed the size of an elephant to move around, because that's why false ego is subtle. So, and it's the thickest. And the Shivadeva is saying, if you do so by surrendering to a spiritual master, what is the result we get? We get lingam vyapohe, the last layer of misidentification, that aham mameti, which Rishabhadeva had elucidated before, janasya lopoyam aham mameti, which Anirudh Prabhu was teaching us a couple of days back. So that aham mameti, that false identification of me and mine, will finally be removed. That is the result that Rishabhadeva is saying in these four verses. Now, it's very interesting, because the Supreme Lord has come and he's setting an example, right? He's got 100 children. Who in these days will have 100 children? It's difficult to have one children these days, and difficult to send them to school and school them and then manage their requirements and everything. The Lord has 100, and on top of it, he's not sending them to school. He's saying, I'll homeschool you. So he's homeschooling all the 100 children himself. It's amazing, isn't it? And he's saying, who can be a better teacher than the Supreme Lord? He says, I'll teach you. You don't have to go to any other schools. I'll teach you how to conduct in this material world. And we can draw lessons from each of these. This verse, I mean, in fact, Bhagavatam is like that. If you see every word, Hamse, Gurav, Mai, so every word, we can actually go on speaking of how deep these words are. We know starting from verse 1, Rishabhadeva was highlighting the significance of human form of life. And that is the reason he did not send his children to study mathematics, science, philosophy, probably arts and crafts and sociology and civics and geography. It's not required. What is required is to study the ultimate science, the science of God, the science of soul. And this, the human form of life, has to be spent in the pursuit of this scientific knowledge, which is seldom seen in these days. So here we see that the father is teaching. The first thing he tells to his son in this verse is, he says, you need to be vitrishnaya, vitrishnaya. Trishna means thirst or having desires. Trishna means greed, basically. Greed for what? Greed for sense enjoyment. Trishna, Krishna. Trishna pulls us down, Krishna pulls us up. That's the difference. So Trishna means one, when we are engulfed with material desires. So Krishna says, become viparit to it. Viparit means opposite. Vitrishnaya. So that's why he uses this word. Vitrishna. Become viparit to it. Vipaschit. Become against vitrishna. So become desireless. Or Prabhupada writes here that by detachment from sense gratification. So it's not becoming desireless as in becoming desireless like a stone, but foregoing those desires which are sensual desires, but have the supreme desire to know the soul, to know the super soul, and to know Krishna. So that is what he uses, vitrishnaya. And he next says, dvandva titikshaya cha. Become tolerant to the dualities of the material world. Because this world, this material world, this iha, this is called as iha. Iha means this place. Iha, para. Para means that place, the spiritual world. Iha. This place is duality. It's filled with dualities, you know. Dualities means it's mixed. It's a mix of pain and pleasure, happiness and sorrow, cold and heat, joy and sorrow, life and death. So there is always dvandva, dualities. You will always see two things all the time. Hunger, satisfaction. I'll see happiness, sorrow. You'll see always a combination of these two. And Krishna also had told this in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, matras parshastu kaunteya. These dvandva is only because how we perceive it. It's only because of the perception of this material world. Because in one sense, the entire world is within him. If you see the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Krishna says, rite ritham yat pratiyeta. If you see everything in connection to me, Lord Brahma, then everything is spiritual. But if you don't see anything, if you don't see even one thing without relation to me, that becomes material. And then that becomes duality. So therefore, the way to look at everything as absolute is to look at it as being connected to Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is saying, you are in this dual world, so therefore, tolerate it. Matra sparshasu kaunteya, sita ushna sukha dukkada. Agama apayino tams titikshasva bharata. Titikshava karunika dasa. Titikshava means to tolerate these dualities. That habit has to be cultivated. And Krishna further, Rishabhadeva further elucidates that this titikshava principle is actually called as, if you see the same verse, the first verse, tapase iha. When we do not like something, there is disturbance in us. When we do not like too much extreme heat or too extreme cold, we feel there is a discomfort. But when we tolerate the discomfort, it is called tapasya. Tapasya. Tapa means heat. Heat means which causes disturbance. So anything that causes disturbance, we tolerate it, it becomes tapasya. So therefore, Rishabhadeva is saying you need to tolerate. Tolerate this dvandva. And then he says, sarvatra jantor vyasanavagatya. Now this is very interesting. Krishna is saying, my dear children, vyasana means miseries. There are miseries everywhere. This material world is a place of misery. Yat padam padam vipadam natesha. So it's always vipada. Vipada means there is misery and danger every step. Why? Because we have taken the false identification. The root cause is false identification, and therefore because of the false identification there is vyasana everywhere. Sarvatra vyasana upagatya. So therefore, my dear children, realize this, that there is vyasana, miseries everywhere in this material world. And what material world is talking about? He is not talking of Bhurloka or Bhuvarloka. He is talking of his creation, which is 14 story building. He's created a 14 story house with 14 planetary systems. He's saying the entire 14 planetary systems, starting from the topmost floor, which is Satyaloka, where Brahma resides, to the lowest mode, Pataloka, it is a place of misery. You will have miseries. And everybody will face some kind of misery in all these planetary systems. Realize these, my children. Do not think that if I go to Swargaloka, I may enjoy. If I go to Brahmaloka, I may enjoy. Because again, it is perception. And generally, because of the false identification, the living entities always have a tendency to think this, right? If you see, when I was in India, I used to think, if I migrate to Australia, my life will be good. So, if you see, because I used to think, it's so advanced, the civilization is advanced, you don't have to travel 2 hours to work one day, one way, 2 hours back. I remember when I used to travel to work, it used to take 2 hours in the morning. So 6:30 I used to leave home, and almost 9:15 I used to reach the workplace. By the time I reached my workplace, I used to be tired already, and the day had to start. And then by 7:30 we used to leave office, and 7:30 to 10, 9:30, 10 by the time we reach home, because of traffic. So much traffic. And by the time you reach home, you're tired. There's no time for spiritual life, for spending time with your so-called family, to even have a good meal, because it's 10 o'clock, what will you have? So people have it in their buses or cars. So everything happens while you're traveling. So and Ayur Harati Vaipom Sam. So every sunrise and sunset, life is losing. You're losing every day. But we think, tomorrow I will be happy. You know, when Monday comes, Saturday, Sunday I will be happy. They'll think. But Saturday, Sunday comes and goes, they'll realize, oh, where did the Saturday and Sunday go? It's gone. I was not happy enough. Okay, I'll wait for the next Saturday and Sunday. And the next Saturday and Sunday comes and goes, we don't realize. Like this, life after life after life, we lose. Therefore, if you see the entire civilization today, actually it is designed to try to make us be to be happy. If you see the entire factory civilization, I studied my engineering. When the factory system was invented, they wanted to mass manufacture everything, and they said, if you mass manufacture, then the cost will come down. If the cost will come down, you will have all the time in the world to relax and sing along and watch the skies. How many of us go and watch the skies these days? We don't have. How many of us have seen the moon? How many of us have seen the sun? We don't have time. We don't have time to take our eyes from the devices. So, any endeavor in this material world to make our lives happier is going to end up more miserable. That the modern civilization has not realized. Imagine those days when women used to carry pots on their heads, just like in Vrindavan, the gopis carry the pots to get the water from river Yamuna and walk all the way back to the village. That is how the system was. They used to go to the river, wash their clothes, get the water back to the house. Now all of a sudden we have opened the tap, you will get water. Now when I was young, you know, my taps used to only come, there used to only come gas, air. It never used to have water in it. When you open the tap, you used to see the gas come out. And there's hardly one drop that will drop out. So there was no water in the tap. So we used to wait for 1 week. 1 week once we used to get water. I remember when I was young. So we used to get water from almost half a kilometer away from a hand pump. And then we used to put our buckets in line. Who's next? Who's next? And then by the time we go and pump the water, there used to be a fight that erupts. I was first. How come you came here? And things like that. By the time the fights subside and the water comes back to the home, it is 12 a.m. in the midnight. You know? So it used to be so difficult. So I thought, coming to Australia, the life would be very nice. You know, what talk of water? You also have gas in the pipes that you can cook comfortably. But if you see, the water that was there was free. Now we have to pay for the water. And now because the water is stored and pumped everywhere, they thought, let us purify the water. They have added fluoride, chlorine, whatnot into the water. And the water we drink is a chemical composition, which is the sole reason for our ill health. So now the modern civilization, okay, don't drink tap water, we will give you filtered water. It's just $5 extra, please pay. And then now you have bottled water. While drinking bottled water, then there is plastic in the water. So then I'll sell you water in a glass bottle. And you see, there is continuous invention to make our lives happier, but it will end up miserable. We didn't have time to eat because we had to cook, go to the river and get water. So people invented washing machines. So the press of a button, the clothes are washed. At the press of a button, the dishes are washed. And yet we don't have time. This is the irony of today's situation. All these modern inventions actually have created more problems than anything else. in olden days, people used to go early in the morning to finish their morning duties near the river, finish it and come home. You know, we never used to have the toilet system in India. Now there are toilets, and because there are toilets, a new profession has come up: toilet cleaning. To clean the toilets, we use harmful chemicals, and all of these chemicals are flushed into the river system, into the water system, goes to the sea, and then the entire sea, the natural environment is destroyed. And then you try to fix it by bandaging systems everywhere. So the Vedic civilization was designed for highest purpose, not to make our lives comfortable here, because you never can make your life comfortable. So therefore, a practice of tapasya was practiced in the Vedic civilization. They did not invent mattresses. You know, it was a shock when I came here. There were shops after shops which were selling beds and mattresses. I never had heard the term mattress in my life until I came here, because everything was a cotton. Everything was cotton, and the same cotton was sprung out after 10 years, and the cotton was, I don't know what the machine is, which cleans up the cotton, and then again it was stitched back into the bed. And that was all what I was exposed to, but now there was mattresses. So after 4 years, just throw it and then buy a new one. And yet you can't sleep properly. So entire civilization is going towards nations. So therefore, the Vedic system, the idea was to inculcate jignasya. Jignasya means to inquire about the absolute truth. So this was the only reason the human form of life was bestowed upon us. Inquiring about the truth. To have sat vichar, not asat vichar. Whereas in today's schools, everything they teach about is asat vichar. They will teach us everything about material world. Asat means matter. We have deep study of matter, but seldom we find study of spirit in today's educational system. And therefore, the students are bewildered. The students are bewildered, and so are the teachers. And therefore, the entire world is heading towards nations. So therefore, Rishabhadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, let me take the responsibility of teaching my own children, because they have got the supreme opportunity with the human form of life. So let me not waste their lives. So he was teaching like that to his children. And in the four verses, Rishabhadev ensues many other qualities that he likes his children to inculcate, like adhyatma yogena vivikta sevaya pranendriyatma vijayena. So he's teaching them to say, all your activities must be based upon the instructions of the spiritual master, which should be adhyatma yogena. Adhyatma yogena means which is based on the scriptures. So it should be based on some scriptural knowledge. It can't be whatever I fancy. So all these basic knowledge that the Lord is giving here. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that the Rishabhadeva also mentions about sat shraddaya brahmacharyena shashvar. Now if you see in all of the ensuing verses, Rishabhadeva was also highlighting about Sri Maituni Bhavam, the attraction between the opposite sex. The attachment to this attraction is the cause of the fall down. So therefore, Prabhupada also quotes in verse number 8, Brahmadaya Yagna Valkadya Muchante Sri Sahainaha. So celibacy, Prabhupada writes, doesn't mean that you run away from your responsibilities. For example, if somebody is in a grihastha ashram, it doesn't mean you abandon your wife. It means do not get attached to the sensual desires of having a wife. Why? Because Prabhupada quotes this verse, Brahma Adya Yagna Valkadya. All these rishis, if you see, Vashishtha, sage Vashishtha, sage Kashyapa, sage Yagna Valkya, they were all married grihasthas. They were all married. But how did they continue their marriage life? Muchyante Sthri Sahainaha. So, wife and husband are meant to research on the single truth, which is the absolute truth. So, husband and wife are a team to research. It's not that the wife is for the pleasure of the husband is for the pleasure of the wife. But they both are in a single team to research on a thesis of the absolute truth. So, therefore, these rishis used to work cooperatively with their wives and still have children and students to teach and still practice celibacy. It is said the Supreme Lord has 16,108 wives, and yet he is Ajanma Brahmachari. We call Krishna as Ajanma Brahmachari, yet he has 16,108 wives. Why? Because Brahmacharya, if you see 3.12.48, which we discussed a few sessions back, that there are four types of Brahmacharis. One is Savitram Brahmacharya, which is the Brahmacharya where you get the Gayatri Mantra. The second was Prajapatyam. Prajapatyam means when you are doing study of Vedas. The third one is Brahma Brahmacharya. Brahma Brahmacharya means a Brahmachari who gets married, but he continues his Brahmacharya Vrata and only mingles with his wife for procreation. So that is Brahmacharya Vrata. And then the last one is Naishtika Brahmacharya, where he will not mingle with the opposite sex. So here Prabhupada is mentioning that celibacy means to not get attached to the thought of enjoying with the wife. So that attachment is what the reason is. As I said, Krishna tells about the Matras Parshastra. So it is not the wife which is the cause of the attachment, it is the perception that wife is there for my enjoyment. So therefore, Rishabhadeva says, one must follow this brahmacharya in a shashwat, always, in whichever ashram we are, we must be practicing brahmacharyena. Brahma acharyena means that everything has to be done for the sake of Brahma. Brahma ahutam, Brahma aves, Brahmarpanam, Krishna says in the 5th chapter. Everything must be done for Brahma, for the Supreme Lord. So therefore even marriage has to be done for pleasing the Supreme Lord. Procreation also has to be done for pleasing the Supreme Lord. It doesn't mean that everybody has to get married and have children. What it means here is those who are married should not see that as an attachment. The clue is not to get attached to that, to the Ahamamyeti principle. And then, Prabhupada also highlights of who should be a spiritual master. It's interesting that Prabhupada says among the spiritual masters, there are four types of sannyasis again. Kuti Chaka, Bahuda, Parivrajaka and Paramahamsa. Prabhupada says it is just not enough you should go and surrender to a Kuti Chaka, not even to a Bahula or Bahudaka, Parivrajaka Acharya, but you should go and surrender to a Paramahamsa. So it is said in the scriptures in Bhagavatam that Kuti Chaka means one who initially leaves home and resides outside the village. So he will, just like if you see the biography of His Holiness Gauravin Maharaj. Right? He leaves his home and then goes and resides in an ashram nearby. He was a school teacher, he resigns and then he takes sannyas. And then his students goes and ask him, my Guru Maharaj, why you are here? Why didn't you not come to the college to teach? He says, I have taken sannyas now. So, but he still, you know, family and people come and see him, they come and cook something for him. He continues, that is the initial stage of sannyas. Kuti Chaka, Bahuda means he will start studying the scriptures deeply. Parivrajaka means he will start traveling. Paramahamsa means he is completely realized. So there is four stages. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that one must go and surrender to a Paramahamsa, which Prabhupada is. So like that. So we need to understand who a spiritual master is. Spiritual master should be Brahmanishtam, one who has taken to the path of devotion very seriously, and one who has understood the science of Krishna, and one who can give the science of Krishna to others. So that is very important. For example, there is a favorite pastime. Ramanujacharya, when he was being trained by his spiritual master gave a mantra to all his disciples. He says, this mantra if you chant, you will get liberated. But the only secret is don't tell this mantra to anyone. This is how his spiritual master taught him. But Ramanujacharya, as soon as he learns the mantra, he runs out of the ashram and starts shouting the mantra loudly. And then his student friends comes and complains to the spiritual master. My dear Gurudev, your student, you have taught this mantra to him. You told him to not say this mantra. He's going and distributing it free of, she's shouting the mantra outside. The Guru Maharaj had said, if you tell this mantra to anyone, you will not get liberated, but the others will get liberated. Ramanujacharya, the Acharyas have this compassionate aspect that I'm fine to take as many births as I can, but I will let everyone else get liberated. So this is the compassionate aspect of a spiritual master. So therefore, he is a Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa means one who is not attached to his requirements, but who is compassionate to everyone around. That's also another quality of a Paramahamsa. So therefore, while going like this, Rishabhadeva also says the most secretive of in these four verses. What is that? He says, Mat karma bihir, mat kathaya cha nityam, mat deva sangat guna kirtanam me. So here he elucidates that all this has to be done to please me, my dear sons. Please Krishna. So he says few things like karma. Dedicate your karma to me, your activities to me. Dedicate, and you should always do katham nityam. You know, in the 10th chapter, Krishna says this. What is it? Machitta matgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanticha. Krishna says. These are the traits of devotees. So they always discuss about my pastimes. They always discuss about kathayantascha mam nityam. Always. That is why sometimes when we are practicing devotees, we sometimes cannot associate with non-practitioners because we feel, what can we talk with him? Because all we can talk is spiritual topics. As soon as you involve with some non-practitioner, you say, okay, what can I speak with him? Because all the time our mind is dovetailed towards talking spirit, talking about Krishna, talking about devotion, talking about devotional service. So it's very difficult for practitioners to go out and still speak mundane topics with others. So there's always a challenge. So therefore, Rishabhadeva says, and he also says, sarvatra madbhava vichakshanena. So while you are conducting in this material world, see me in everything. Vichakshanena. Please observe that I am the reason of everything. Yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chavacheshvanu praveshthani apraveshthani natteshu nateshvaham. Means, see me as being imbued into everything. See me as the door of everything, the reason, the cause of all causes of everything. So like this he is preaching to his children. How? And he also says, jnana vijnanena virajitena. This is the crux, you know. Prabhupada quotes, jnana vijnana samanvitam. This jnana vijnana samanvitam was the answer that Lord Vishnu gave to Lord Brahma. That before speaking the Chatushloki, he says, this knowledge that I am going to speak to you is jnana vijnana samanvitam rahasyam etaduttamam. So this is a secretive knowledge that I am going to tell to you, Brahma, which contains jnana, which contains vijnana, and it is the most secretive. Rahasyam etad uttamam. It is the most, the highest of all knowledge. And that is when he speaks the fourth, that the Chatushloki of Bhagavatam. So therefore, this knowledge Rishabhadeva is giving is jnanam filled with vijnana. Prabhupada writes, jnana means spiritual knowledge or knowledge about devotional service. Vijnana means executing that or putting it into practice. We know in our college days, we had theory classes and we had practical classes. So this is putting theory into practice. Why? Because karmana jnanam atanoti. When we actually execute with our 5-10 senses, we attain what? We attain knowledge. What knowledge? Gunanu varnane, the knowledge of the Lord, that about his auspicious qualities. So therefore, he said that in the verse, guna kirtaname. So how do you know gunas of the Lord? By practicing devotional service. When we practice devotional service, we get more realization of that theoretical knowledge of how auspicious the Lord is. How he is gunatita, he is beyond the three modes of material nature, but he is sarva guna sampanna. That he is having all the auspicious attributes and the qualities, but he is devoid of these three gunas, which is the three modes of material nature. So like this, if one conducts and meditates on the Supreme Lord, then what happens? It becomes very easy to let go of his outermost covering, which is vyapohet, which is the lingam vyapohet. He can get rid of his subtle body, which consists of the mind, intelligence and the false ego. In fact, Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya. Now Madhvacharya writes, Atmano vihitam karma. Every jiva has a vihita karma. Every jiva has a vihita karma. We cannot do whatever we please. For example, Arjuna wanted to go and retire to a forest. Krishna says, no, that is not your job. That is not the varna that you belong to. You are a warrior. So, you have to reach the pinnacle of devotion and realization by becoming a warrior. You fight in the war field and realize me through your activities. Atma vihita karma. So therefore, everyone has a vihita karma based on our constitutional position. We can realize God in a specific way. For example, I was hearing a lecture where one sannyasi said, I don't like to attend GBC meetings. But another God brother of him, these are all Prabhupada's disciples, he said, that has to be done because if we are in that role, administrative role, we have to go to meetings. So vihita karma. So it has to be done. Someone has to take leadership roles. Someone has to take the roles of acharya, someone has to take the roles of students, and we have to do those roles perfectly. Why? In how? Madbhavena, madbhava samanvit, madbhava vichakshanena, seeing that it is done for pleasing the Lord. And that's what Madhvacharya writes, that varjaitvanya karmanaha. How? Kamasya cha parityaga, by thinking that I am not doing for my sense gratification but to please the senses of the Lord. And in fact, in Bhagavatam we have numerous examples like this. For example, we have the example of Who is the Maharaj who Savaimana Krishna Padaravindayo? Amarisha Maharaj. Savaimana Krishna Padaravindayo Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. So we have to spend this vacha. Vacha means our urge to speak. Krishna, Rishabhadeva says, Asam Pramadena Yamena Vacham. How do you implement Yamena Vacham? Restrict your vacham to what? Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. So see how it fits in everything. The Bhagavatam is such a beautiful science, and there are practical examples of devotees, how they applied this science. One example is Amrish Maharaj. And therefore, by following these principles, one can realize the actual purport of Bhakti Yoga and then come to the position of seeing or witnessing the Lord face to face. In fact, if you see the Dvadasa Stotra of Madhvacharya, he also says, Kuru Bhumishvacha Karma Nijam Niyatam Niyata Karma. We all have to do our karma. Hari Pada Vinamradhiya Satatam. Hari Pada. It also always have to be done for pleasing the lotus feet of the Lord, or towards the lotus feet of the Lord. Hari Pada Vinamra Dhiya Satatam. By Dhiya, by our consciousness with Vinamra Bhav, with humility we have to do our task. Hari Pada Vinamra Dhiya Satatam. And how do I do this? With what consciousness? Hari Reva Paro, Hari Reva Guru, Hari Reva Jagat Pitra Matrugatihi. So, Hari Reva Guru, he is the only Acharya, he is the only father and he is the only mother. Hari Reva Jagat Pitra Matrugatihi. Gatihi means he is the only destination with which we should reach. So, like this, so Madhvacharya always gives the summation that whatever we have to do it for pleasing the Lord. And we have to do something. Escaping is not an option. And this is the same teaching that was given to the grandfather of Rishabhadeva from Lord Brahma. Because Priyavrata Maharaj wanted to abandon everything and do Bhakti Yoga full time. Then Lord Brahma said, hang on, you have the capability of becoming a leader, a king. So you come and rule. But at the same time, practice Krishna consciousness while so doing. There is a danger always, because as you deal with material nature, there is always a danger that we might get engulfed by Maya. This is always the fear that a devotee has. But that is a good fear, because that fear will make us satark, alert every time. Because it is written in the Shastras, Kshurasya Dharaha. Kshurasya Dharaha means spiritual life is walking on the razor edge. A little mistake can cut our feet. Yet, because of the fear, we are aware that we have to be careful, treading on this difficult path and keeping our focus to reach Krishna all the time. So therefore, whatever our vihita karma is, we should continue to do that, but continue to do that by always meditating on the Lord, therefore sacrificing these results to please the Lord, or if brahmacharya are there, then they do full-time brahmacharya by doing their activities. For pleasing the Lord all the time. So I'll just summarize. So these four verses explains the crux of Rishabhadev's teachings to his children. It starts from surrendering to a spiritual master, and what is the result of such surrender is that we will forego our false ego, which is the outermost layer. Thereby we will come back to our original spiritual body, our original constitution position, and go back to God. So I'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss in a couple of minutes. If not, it's okay. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. 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 Jai.